Podcast, Spy Time, excellent. Hey everyone, it's Lauren and Lena from Spoodcast, and today we have Juice from Juice's Arthropods.
Yeah.
Dude, that's like my first time saying that word out loud.
No, it's totally fine. I get it all the time on expos. They will put me as Juice's Anthropods, as Juice's Ants. It's totally fine.
I feel like there's so many like consonants in there that like the R just disappears.
That was actually my goal. I wanted to make it so impossible that you couldn't forget it. That's a joke. I didn't actually do that. But that would be genius, right?
But this would be so like catchy. I really like that. That's a good name.
Can you tell if people don't know what an arthropod is? It's not like, you know, Arthur.
Yep, it's Arthur. No, an arthropod is an invertebrate that has armored. So like anything that has like bends and creaks like an armored invertebrate is an arthropod. So what it isn't is like a gastropod, which would be like snails or mollusks and things like that. So most life on the earth is an arthropod. Most invertebrate you know are arthropods as well.
I learned something new today.
Okay, bye.
That was it. Show's over.
Nice.
That's so cool. Like I've been seeing Roly Poly. Actually, my son, I made him a little enclosure with Roly Polies. So that was like my first thing that popped in mind when you said like the little armor.
Yeah. And it's something to do with their legs too. And I can't remember the Wikipedia definition, but no, like it encompasses everything from, you know, crabs and crustaceans to, you know, arachnids and all those things too. So it's probably everything you guys own as pets would be arthropod.
Not my cat.
Yeah, as a cat.
That's true.
Well, Komodo dragons are in Jersey, so I would believe that cats are arthropods.
Yeah, let me rephrase. Invertebrates. Your pet invertebrates. Not your man.
What's your favorite kind?
I think my favorite kind is definitely roaches. I'm a big roach guy.
Really? My eyes went really big.
Yeah, I love roaches because of 5,000 species of roaches, only 15 of them are actually invasive capable. And they're just, I'm always that guy that really loves like the underdog. Like if you start winning, I lose interest in you pretty quickly. So like, I really like roaches because I feel like they're really misunderstood. And termites are roaches, which is pretty interesting too.
Aren't roaches like something to do also with the spider family or no?
No. Oh. Well, they're all under arthropods. In that realm, there's the phylogenetic tree of arthropods is insane. Like it encompasses basically every armored exoskeleton type invertebrate you'll see.
Okay, like tarantulas, jumping spiders. What about stick bugs?
So phasmids would still be under that category. Because you actually have Mygalomorphae, which is the overarching, I don't know if it's called a kingdom or what it's called, but that is underneath arthropods. So you have Chelicerata and all of these, and you could talk for literally hours on the phylogenetic tree of how arthropods are determined. It's always really funny to me because like people will eat crabs and they'll eat shrimp, but then they will really hate bugs, and I'm like, you know, really, they're like cousins. Yeah, they're just sea bugs. That's all they are.
Yeah, like what do the people eat a lot? The sea bugs, they call them, or crawfish. Don't they call those like just like sea roaches?
No, yeah, those are from lakes and shit, right?
In rivers, and they're in pretty much, I think, any freshwater river, right?
Yeah.
My knowledge ends at the water's edge.
That's yeah. Not
my knowledge dot.
I know. I'm from Colorado. I don't understand oceans, but I guess now I sort of live by one. Oh, dude, they did a thingy because I'm in South Jersey and our little shore is Wildwood. And I guess they cleaned it up and it's just full of used tampons. So that's what we have. Yeah.
Is there a sub pump that people are fucking their tampons?
No, just like at the beach, somebody's like, you know what? I don't want this in me anymore. And they're just like, splatoo. Sorry, Juice. No, you're fine.
So in medical kits, you'll typically keep them in there because they're really good for gunshot wounds.
Yeah.
With all of the sanitary pads and stuff, why don't they make, you know, like how they have like, what the hell are those called, like when oil spills happen, why don't they just reuse these things for oil spills? Like, because it's not like it's gonna break down, it's cotton, you know what I mean? Like, can't we just like
interesting
wring it out, reuse it, give it
a yeah cup? That's a menstrual cup. I make a menstrual cup hide for drunk spiders.
Yeah. I'll be honest. As a man, I know nothing about menstrual cups because I'm also in my 30s, but I am learning. I'm trying to learn new things all the time. So I see those and I'm like, I have no idea how you work, but I'm glad you exist.
You know, I'm a girl and I still barely know how they work.
Suction.
The gravity of it? I was going to say, is it? It's like suction and gravity and I guess muscle. Like, I don't know.
You got to get it perfect.
Is it? Does it have to like have a hermetic seal or it becomes like a...
Yes.
Like the scenes of like Shining or something? Yeah.
Yes. The twin scene.
I do have to tell you guys, I read a book about nuclear war and it mentioned scorpions. So I saved it as my cool not spider fact. Do you guys want to see what you think of this? It's a paragraph long. I highlight it for you. Scorpions as a species will likely survive nuclear war. What do you think? But it says arachnida. With book lungs have been around for hundreds of millions of years. Scorpions came before the dinosaurs. They lived through the dinosaurs' extinction and will likely outlive humans.
What? After... I did not know that.
Yeah, it says after nuclear World War III, they're cheery, the scorpions' hard shells will protect them from the radiation that will kill off most of the humans who managed to initially survive fireballs, the blast, and then the ensuing firestorms.
Oh my god, it's like, okay, you have to watch Fallout because there's these creepy, like, fish characters, and I could see scorpions being, like, the weird humanoid thing in the end. Not humanoid, but maybe, because people would probably try to do something weird.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting they mentioned that they would live because they have been around for millions of years, but, like, wouldn't they just die in nuclear winter?
Or, like, a flood? Well,
yeah, there's a couple things with that. So, like, when they talk about roaches being able to, like deal with a nuclear blast, right? Like, they're not talking about, like, you're in the blast range. I think it's like 50% more radiation they can endure than humans, but that's still not much. Like you have to imagine, like, what was, like, the Bikini Atoll? It was like 140 kilometer explosion. So, like, let's say something happens with multiple bombs, like, all light kind of ceases to exist at a certain amount, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what the magnetosphere is?
No.
Okay, I'm trying to make this stupid easy. Magnetosphere is basically two balls of things hit each other controllably. Liquid molten core makes a magnetic shell around the planet. That is what prevents us from being destroyed by the sun. So my problem with their argument is that they say they've existed before the dinosaurs, so therefore they should survive with a nuclear blast. But, like, there's a very real difference between a comet hitting a planet and a nuclear fallout. You know what I mean? Like, dude, we made that, like, really brutal. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, we become carbon.
Yeah, we kind of melt. We break down as
I don't know, but I saved that because I thought it was interesting. I guess that's...
I love that.
Like, if there was a nuclear war, like, the scorpions would turn, like, even more, like, with radiation, like, more glowy. Like, would they glow? Just glow in your black light. That's my bingo.
I don't know. We'll have to take them to Spencer's and find out.
No, it would be cool though if, like, jumping spiders became like the size of cats.
I want you to think about that for 1 second on how mean cats are, and then think about jumping spiders.
Toxic Avenger type of situation.
That's like normal thinking though in my brain.
I love the idea of it so much, and I want so badly for there to be.
Yeah.
No, because I've worked so many hours, I've gotten to that point where the idea of, like, a fallout scenario where, like, humanity is kind of, like, half gone is like my vacation.
You should read this book. This book was great. You should read it. It's just called Nuclear War, a Scenario. It's pretty fun. I learned what a nuclear football is, all sorts of stuff.
What is that?
Do you know what that is, Juice? Yeah, so that's like this little cool briefcase that the president's little doodle friend carries around with him at all times with the nuclear codes in it.
Why is it? Oh, a nuclear football, because he's carrying it all the time.
Yeah.
You gotta pass it to the... Yeah.
It's actually chained to him like he's a child.
There was a point in time where they found out that, like, the number, like, literally this was, like, just unlocked not too long ago. It was like the password was all ones for, like, 50 fucking years. Like, that's the fuck most, like, the most powerful country in the world, and their password.
Cats the size of spiders.
Wasn't it spiders the size of cats?
Oh, did I say that? Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
flip it in reverse.
Cats the size of spiders would be adorable, first off.
Oh my god, can you imagine? Ah, my mind is like exploding just thinking about that.
Most of the problems with cats as like a society would go away overnight. Like, what bird could they possibly make extinct, you know? It's just
like walking on the street and seeing like a spider-sized cat that just looked up at you and went, meow, isn't big enough. Like, you would, think of, like, your biggest regal.
They'd still somehow be shitty, you know what I mean? Like, they'd still, like, attack you. You're just like, dude, I'm 20,000 times your size. Go away.
My cat is the sweetest cat ever and, like, has never attacked me, like, only playful. But he does that thing where they stink and it's awful. I'm glad spiders don't have that.
Who was it with the stinky spider? One of our guests had a stinky spider. That was Loki's mom.
I've never heard of a stinky spider until then.
Like, is it intentionally stinky or did...
No, I don't think it's a weapon. I think it just... She said it smells like no matter what it's in. It's just stinky.
Was it a boy or girl?
Girl.
What kind of spider was it?
A regal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we go back to the fact that you're just eating like, this is what I'm imagining, okay? And I want you to tell me how real this is. I imagine, this is the scenario, sitting on, like, a nice, like, a chair, right? Or maybe, like a sofa, and you have, like, a crushed velvet pillow, and in the middle, it's like one of those ones from, like, the old cat food commercials where they've got, like,
an open
feta container in the middle with, like, tassels around it. And then you're drinking wine, sipping it gently, and then you're just eating a fistful of feta cheese. The reality is that.
She's doing a line.
Yeah. You know how horses do that thing with their mouth where they, like, kind of lip food? I just imagine you just lipping a whole...
Oh, my God!
Oh, feta.
Wow!
I need a freak of feta next time. I don't know. I was drinking this wine and I got like this like urge to have something like tangy with it. And then I ate like this big chunk of feta and I was like, that's so one of the best things I've ever had. So that I couldn't stop eating the feta. And then
I'm like, you're not going to poop. Dude, you're not going to be able to poop for like a week.
Or you're going to poop a lot, depending on if your lactose intolerant.
Let us know, Lauren. We can press pause. It will go both ways. With that note, so we did menstrual cups, nuclear war, and pooping. Juice, how did you get into arthropods?
So I've been like a bug nerd for about 30. I'll be 38 in July, so about 30 more years now. I got this like old field guide. It was like, in hindsight, like the worst gift a human being could give a 4-year-old child. It's like a field guide on like bugs and stuff. And I bought a copy of it recently, and it was like not for kids at all. It's like a professor's field guide. So I was a bug nerd. And then when I got to California around 2020, 2021, I started breeding doobie roaches because I have a bearded dragon and he was eating like me out of house and home because he was eating like $3 a week in roaches.
Oh, well, those are expensive.
So, like, there. Yeah. Everything here is so expensive. So I just like, fuck, can I curse? So sorry.
Yes.
Okay. I was like, fuck this. I'm going to just breed these because I know how. So I started doing that. And then I really like roaches and I felt bad because like I was feeding a lot of these roaches and I was kind of like empathizing with them all the time. And then I just started getting other stuff, and then I don't know, kind of like spiraled uncontrollably and was just like, let's make a business out of this because I know what I'm doing and I have a robust knowledge about the topic. It became Juice's Arthropods, and I tried to make it like different variations. I was like, what about Juice's Bugs, and that already exists, and I was like, Juicy Bugs, that exists. It was like everything I could think of.
But there's like Bug Juice for kids. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's, I was like, this will be dope, Bug Juice. And then it was like and then it was one of them. Is that the one that's like the barrel fruit juice frap?
Yes.
Yeah. So
they are still like, around?
I don't know.
That's amazing. Now I gotta Google it.
Yeah, there's still
around. Ooh, I'm gonna sneeze, so I'm gonna mute myself. So
I wonder if Lena's a East Coast sneezer or West Coast sneezer. I feel like people from different coasts sneeze differently.
They don't sneeze at all. Do you sneeze an audible noise or do you do the hachoo? Like that
mine
crap?
Mine really much a
hachoo. Me too.
It's why is it people thing. With that sneeze always apologize the most for their sneeze? I'm like, dude, this is the least offensive sneeze I've ever heard in my life.
Because they peed a little. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Okay. I'm That's all I'm going to think about every time going forward. It's just like, they're like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, it's fine. It's just pee.
When she goes off her legs after she sneezes, she's definitely peed a little.
I don't know if we can post this at all. We're gross. Girls are so gross. Oh my God.
Maybe did you say girls are gross? Have you been in a men's bathroom ever?
Anyway. Bugs, that's decidedly less gross.
I mean, can we get any more weirder? Yes, we can. The roaches are funny. I got a bunch for Poodle, my bearded dragon, and I put them in a container to like feed them easy, but I always see them just like humping each other, and I'm like,
oh dude, babies. Darkling beetles, like the mealworm ones, all they do is bone. It's like, dude, you guys are gross. Cut it out. Yes.
You're not looking at it in the right light, though. If I put you in any container with, you know, different people for what is essentially like a fourth of their lifetime, you will also do that. You know what I mean? Like, they don't live long. So, like, imagine if a roach lives a year, I think doobie roaches live 2 years max.
Holy shit.
A week is a really long time in terms of that. You know what I mean?
2 years is a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're really long lived.
I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, I don't give them their fair shot.
To your point, no one does. And that's kind of why I got into this, because I was like, it's so arbitrary to me. Like, it's the same thing with like humans. Like, we decide like what is something that's a meal and what thing is a pet. It's the same thing with us and roaches. We just decided arbitrarily like which ones we should have our reptiles eat, which ones we shouldn't. So
I have a question about roaches, because I'm like very new to roaches. Do the dubia roaches, so I have like large and small, are they just like the small ones, the babies, and they gradually grow up? Or do they actually have like all these different sizes?
Yes and no. Because of how you asked the question. They're hemimetabolous, and homometabolous means one of two things. Either it's a species that goes from the nymph stage, which is what roaches are, and then they just gradually get to maximum stage, and that's their whole life. They just get, it's like people. We have little versions of ourselves that look like old people, and they become toddlers, and they look like humans, and then they go on. And then you have the other type, which is like butterflies to moths, or
okay.
I'm sorry, caterpillars to moths, or butterflies. So yeah, when you see dubia roaches of various sizes, you're just seeing them in different infancies or life stages. So like if you go to like dubiaroaches.com or whatever, and they have like sizes, for instance, or any of those places, what they've essentially done is they've got somebody that has like a big colander machine, and they put a ton of roaches in it, and then they just shook it, and then like all the ones smaller than that hole fell into a bucket, and then they moved to the other side, and anything that was too big, they do it again, and all the way down the line. I'm assuming that's how that company does it, but that's what most companies are doing, advising like that. Or they've got someone meticulously literally holding a tape measure to them, which that seems...
No.
That's awesome to know. I've been like really wondering that, because they can get so big.
They get, it's super funny too, because there are like, you ever seen the lobster roaches?
No.
So lobster roaches are really great for like, I like them for jumping spiders or for arboreal tarantulas. I'll use them because you ever had like a jumper that's just kind of like, you're like, dude, you need to eat, and they're kind of like a grumpy dick about it. Lobster roaches are really cool because they will climb plastic and glass, and that's not ideal for some people, but I love them because I don't want to, I have over 1800 different spiders in my house, so like if I'm trying to feed stuff, like I need you to eat now, I don't have time to wait around. So I'll throw those into an enclosure, like for jumping spiders, for instance. They will kind of, they'll climb the plastic and glass, and they'll run around like a lunatic, and then it like gets the jumping spider to be like, oh, movement. It like kind of incites them in their prey drive. So yeah, I like those, but they're super tiny. Like you can get, and you got like giant cave roaches that are the size of my hand. Like there's a lot of
well, that's cool though, because like mealworms and even dubias, like sometimes they just lay there.
Lately mine have been luckily liking the dubias still. Lena's, are yours liking dubias yet?
Only one.
Do you have like spiders that just love the dubias?
I don't get to feed too many dubias to my, like I do and I don't. So like I've got I got a Gramostola pulchopes that is a massive tarantula that she's so big that I have to feed her adult dubia roaches because she won't. I more specifically have to feed her the giant adult male dubia roaches because the females won't move around as much and the males are
oh, really?
I can't tell the difference.
Oh, how do you tell the difference?
Oh.
Nail polish.
No, they, well, there's two ways. So when they're actually adults, they're sexually dimorphic. So the males will have wings, the females won't, with doobie roaches. But for all roaches, if you flip them over, if it has, oh my God, I don't know how to describe this with words. If it looks like, if you make your hand and you make a U, if the bottom last piece of their abdomen looks like you could fold it up and an egg, mm-hmm. an oof could actually come out, that's a female. If it looks like you took your hand and you made a pyramid and it's like sharp at the end, like it kind of like, you look at that and you're like, there's no freaking way this thing could give birth. That's the male. Mm-hmm. And so you can actually sex roaches at a very early stage to see that.
Interesting.
I'm gonna try to use mine. Although I'm not gonna lie, I need to get over it, but they still kind of give me the creeps. I'm trying though. Like, I don't know. There's something about the roaches.
I have a trick to it.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Don't make eye contact.
Are you a fan of mantids or praying mantids?
Yes.
Okay, so they are the same species, just for different lineages.
But they don't look as cute.
if you look at a roach up close at its face, like really look at its face, you will notice very quickly they look exactly like a mantid, except one evolved to have an elytra and wings and stuff, or not an elytra, but like a winged formation stiphylloid. And the other one, because there is even like bark mantids that look exactly like roaches, and I know they
really,
yeah, they're like, they're not bipedal like the roach, the mantids kind of behave.
No, what I really love are the orchid mantises. Those are like, I learned from those in Animal Crossing and then saw them in real life and I was like, what? I mean,
yeah.
I'm one of the people that unfortunately I can either make somebody really, really want a new species or I can make them hate species depending on how much information you want about a talk. So I always find myself never knowing which route to go, where people are like, I want an orchid mantis. And I'm like, I'm just going to shut up and say nothing because I don't want to report.
So they're on your, like, are they in your burn book?
Tell us.
Well, they're okay. I think that you should experience every bug ever. I mean, I mean that honestly. I think that every single person should have whatever they want, and they will find that maybe the pros and cons. And that's like, I do my YouTube videos and I'm just giving you care guides and pros and cons, and you can kind of do whatever you want with it, right? So my issue with mantids, I've made abundantly clear, my issue with orchid mantids is I feel like they're overpriced. They're overpriced, and they are, if you're going to get any mantis, get a ghost mantis, because the survivability increases by about 95%. Orchids are pretty. Also, weird fact about them, they actually evolved before the orchid to look like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there were no orchids, and they evolved.
Yeah, tons of little orchids around our house, so like, I think that might be why I'm attracted to the little orchid mantises.
They don't get big. So that's the first thing that people, I always tell them, they always think like, oh, this is going to be a decent sized mantis. I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to get like no bigger than like your, I don't know, the first two digits of your finger. They're really small. They have really, really high humidity needs, and they have, they're exorbitantly expensive, because people that are breeders of mantids, they sell them at such a young age because they just want to get rid of them before they all die.
Oh,
I read the span is so short on them, 5 to 9 months.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
And you can't, if you buy multiples too, like this, I don't know if you want, if you guys do breeding or anything. I know you do for jumping spiders, but like, for instance, yeah, if you're a breeder, you want to be able to buy a lot of something to be able to breed, because I want to have the least amount of impact on the world as I can, right? Because I buy captive bred, but you know, people can tell you captive bred and like you have your vendors that you really trust, but like, do you know, does that make sense? Like, you can trust somebody implicitly, but until they show you definitive proof, you could be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But when you buy any mantis, they have this really irritating thing where, like, if they're all from the same oof, the males will become males, like confirmed males, and then die before the females become confirmed females and breed. So, like, it's just exhausting. And that, like, that's the thing about them. Now, pros, they are an actually active hunter. So they not only look like something that is, you know, like a flower, for instance, but they are one of the few species that will actually actively go and search for food. Like, if you drop something in there, they will go hunting it down, where everything else will just kind of stand there and be like, I'm a stick. They're like, I don't give a shit. You don't know what I am. And you're going to be so confused looking at me because you're like, is this fucking flower running at me? And then you're dead. You know I mean? Like, so they're, that's the dopest part about them is their hunting ability. Like, you never have to worry about them eating. They will eat every time.
Oh, that's it's just, oh yeah, what a shame about their lifespan.
Is it like jumping spiders and that, like, the more they eat, they're kind of just marching forward to death?
I think, like, I have a hot take on that. Jumping spiders, and I think most people kill their jumping spiders because they feel
absolutely.
I think it's the same thing with
organism.
Yeah,
I've seen a lot of big jumping spiders.
Yeah, especially on Instagram. And it's like, dude, is that gravid? They're like, no, it's captive. And it's like, wow, okay.
Yeah. I
don't feed it.
I was breeding them for a while, and then I was telling people, I'm like, just don't feed them a meal bigger than an abdomen. They'll be totally fine. And then people were like, but I don't want to do that. And I was like, well, then they're going to die, and I don't have a knife to tell you that. Like, if you ate something the size of your goddamn torso, you're not going to be like, good. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be like, oh.
I do that once a week.
I was just like, you might enjoy it like a couple times, but if every week someone is like, hey, guess what? I got you a 9-foot sub. You're like, I guess.
Yeah, could you imagine eating like a meal the size of your own body?
Mm. Yeah.
In Taco Bell or Domino's, I could.
Yeah.
What's your order at Taco Bell, Lauren?
I freaking love the new Stackers. They're on the value menu.
What does that mean?
It's the value menu is just like, you know.
Oh, not that. I know what that is. No, what's a stacker?
Oh, the stacker. It's new.
It's like, it's a value menu. Sorry.
It's a folded up like quesadilla, and it's got steak and cheese in it. It is so freaking good. They're only like three something a piece. You could eat like three of them and be like set for the night. And then
this episode of Spoodcast was brought to you by Taco Bell.
Jude, what's your order? Are you a Taco Bell person?
I am. Okay, I want to make this before I tell you what my order is. You have to imagine this. I am 6'4". I'm 320 pounds. I am a monster.
Grilled stuffed burrito.
Yeah, I do a steak grilled stuffed burrito and two burrito supremes. So I can.
Hell yeah.
And then that's it has to have a mild sauce.
Oh, I love the mild. Speaking big here, but I'm pretty sure I could out eat you in Taco Bell.
So this is what's really irritating about being my size. I don't have a big stomach. So like I eat like 1,000 times a day, but I eat like little tiny meals.
Like I can just like, I can inhale a medium Domino's pizza, like half of it. And like, I'm not even kidding. Probably like 5 minutes.
Do you think that would be like the same as like a waxworm then? Yes. Like for a spood?
Yeah. So a spood eating a big waxworm would be a large or medium Domino's pepperoni.
Probably. Can I ask you, where did the phrase spood come from? It like became popular very quickly, and I've never it took the internet by storm, and then I was just like, do you mean spider? And people are like, no, spood. I'm like, are we saying the same words? I'm just curious.
I didn't do it. I did put it on my license plate though.
Oh, I'm not blaming you. I think it's amazing. I'm just curious because it came out of nowhere and I was like, is this a meme that I don't get? Like,
yeah, I mean, I just like it because it has poo in it.
I think people like it because it's like friendlier than saying spider, and some people get freaked out by like the word spider.
Okay. If that's what it is,
not us, other people get freaked out by spider. Like some people, like when I say, like, they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, spider stuff. And they're like, ooh, spiders. If I was spood stuff, hey, no one copy me. Maybe you're scared.
I like that because I grew up at a time where like nobody was into bugs. I was like the only bug nerd. Like, I know there's a lot of like hypocrisy around like people not liking jumping spiders and stuff like that because they're like, well, they're not manly enough. And I'm like, piece of shit. Fuck you. Why does it have to be manly? You know what I mean? Like, that's the first thing. But second off, I think that jumping spiders were the best thing to happen in the community. You know, tarantulas are next. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but you're going to suddenly, if you have the same concept of, if this is cute and I love this, you're going to continue to have that mindset for everything. If you do have
I think Lena and I are on the same page with this one.
Actually, I'm curious what you think, and we can cut this out, but because I'm on immune suppressant, like a really, really heavy one that used to be a chemo drug. So I was told by a couple different people, like, don't ever, because I don't know, like, I don't have any B cells. So they're like, just don't. But like talking to Victor, he was basically like, if you get bit by something, you caused it. Like, they're not going to come out and just bite you for funsies, is how he put it.
I listened to the one with Victor, and this is, now I want to make this abundantly clear, I'm not a doctor, so don't listen to me on that. Like, I don't want to tell you to do something and then you die. But this is my honest take. I have 1,800 tarantulas, or I keep changing the number because I genuinely have no idea. It's at least 1,500 tarantulas.
Wait, I'm like in shock. Like, you have 1,500 like at this moment?
Yeah, but I also breed them. So you have to imagine, like, I'm sitting on 3 egg sacks that are 500 spice a piece, right? So that's like, so it's, I would say if I were to remove bred spiders, like babies, like slings, I have probably 800, 900 tarantulas that are like 1/4 inch or above. So that's why I never know exactly how many. So this is what I'll say. I think that between Victor and myself, there's a lot of experience in various tarantulas. Between me and him, we have vastly differing opinions on like what is a sane spider to own and hold and what is not a sane spider to hold. Because he leans more towards the dark side of like, I'm gonna hold a P Metallica, and I'm of the mindset of like, I don't ride the elevator 10,000 times hoping it eventually breaks. You know what I mean? Like, if I have that many spiders, it's not an if, it's a when I'm going to get bit. So,
oh, wow. That's not the feeling I got from him.
Oh, no, no. He's the kind of person that's just like, I don't give a shit how many tarantulas I have. I'm going to hold them all. And I'm like, you're nuts. So, like, I think that you could feasibly have a new world tarantula, something that's low venom, and your chances with, I mean, it's going to have urticating hairs. And I listened to his, I was cracking up so much because I love Victor so much, but he has an irregular effect when urticating hairs hit him. Like, he swells up, like he's not like a normal urticating hair. You know what I mean? Like that dude, like, it's hit by an urticating hair, and it's like he got hit with the most allergic thing on the planet. My arms are covered in them right now. I was breeding spider yesterday, and it itches, and it sucks. Like, it feels like you have really irritating poison ivy, and it gets worse over, right? Time.
Yes. Oh my god, jinx.
Yeah, it does. But even that, I'm even curious because it does seem to have diminishing returns. It's not like every time you get haired, it's cumulatively worse until suddenly you explode. It's just like, it hits this point to where you're just like, I'm fucking itchy as hell and I hate everything. You could get a dwarf tarantula, like a little pumpkin patch or something. And even if it bit you, it's a fucking spider that's like 2 inches, you know, 3 inches, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so your chance, and like, you, to his point, like, you really have to fuck up. Like, they're fast.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Tarantulas are much faster than jumping spiders. But you know what jumping spiders do that tarantulas don't do? They jump. Like, a lot. It's kind of their name. If you get like a terrestrial tarantula, they're not jumping anywhere. They're like, they evolve to overpower their prey. Like, they're like lumbering monsters. You know what I mean? Like, they are, if like you watch the movie Halloween, they are the Michael Myers. They are not like they're just walking after forever. Yeah. They're clumsy. Oh, I did a bunch of like slow motion like videos, and I'll try to send you guys some. I did a bunch of slow motion videos of like tarantulas like trying to catch prey, and they miss it every fucking time because they're blind. So like, they're fast and big, and they're not really good at anything. So most bites are like people trying to hand feed them like a moron, and then they get bit and they're like holding it, and then like bites them in the thumb, and it's just like, that's your fault. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I sat on a yellow jacket a couple of days ago and I got stung on my butt, so, and I survived. So
is that worse? Like, have you, like, what is that poison compared to like tarantula, do you know?
That'd be interesting.
It's different. I mean, you gotta, there's a couple things that people don't realize about getting bit by a tarantula that makes it worse than a wasp is, like, one, a wasp, well, size of stinger, that's the biggest one. The size of a wasp stinger versus a tarantula fang it's like the difference between like eating like, a, you know, like a lady finger and a 12 inch sub. Like, it's a fucking huge difference in size. The other thing is that like wasps, their stingers are internal. So they kind of like hold them inside and they're kind of clean, right? Like, they're not really like, they're not like shoving their stinger into soil all the time. Tarantulas are gross. They'll just like bite shit all the time. They're like eating whatever the fuck that lives in soil. So like, your chances of an infection are really high with like a bite. If they catch you like in a tendon, they could technically snap a tendon. Like, if they're, but
holy shit.
I'm giving you I need to give you the here's the disclaimer though. These are like the worst case scenarios. Like no one has ever had this happen, but like I've seen the teeth in a T-Sturmy. Like this motherfucker could definitely chew through your hand. You just got to look at all of the pros and cons. It's like anything else. Like you'll find a tarantula that's going to work for you. Get a new world. Your chances of being bitten are so, so low. Like it. And like, if you really are worried about it, don't hold them. Like you don't have to, like everybody wants to, but they don't have to, you know, like.
See, that's why I like jumpers though. Cause I want to hold them. I want a friend, but.
Have you been bit by a jumper, Juice?
Actually, I think it was the only thing that's ever bit me.
What? Okay, so I read that it's like a wasp sting, and since I just got stung, like I thought I was sitting on a needle because I've been poking holes into deli cups. So I was like, oh, I left the needle on this, and I just thought I sat on it. So it wasn't that bad. Do you think it was like a yellow jacket sting?
It did it by surprise, and I didn't even notice it until afterwards. But like,
what?
I was in the moment, I was kind of panicking about something else, so I didn't really notice it too much. But I noticed it after the fact because I had holes on two sides. You know how like their teeth work? Like how their teeth are like, if I'm giving you a hug, like, you know, like I don't know how to describe that. But they when they bite you, they're not, because that's the biggest problem about being bit by a spider. It's not one sting, it's two. You know what I mean? So you get caught on both sides. That was the part that caught me off guard. But no, it bit into like my thumb, but it didn't really like hurt.
Did it inject venom in you at all or?
See, I don't know, because it didn't itch. It didn't do anything. I was trying to save a male, and the female got me.
Oh, from peril.
Yeah, and he was being a dick anyways. And I was actually more worried about him biting me, and then she fucking bit me. I was like, you bastard. I was actually defending you. They dry bite a lot. That's the thing about spiders is like their system that does all the injecting and stuff is kind of like our insulin, right? Like our appendix or whatever the hell. It makes the same digestive juices, so rather than us have like, you know, is it a spleen? What the hell is the organ that makes fucking insulin for us? Is that spleen? I know more about bugs than people. I'm so sorry. I don't know, it's one of those organs that like you kind of need it but you kind of don't. If you don't,
gallbladder,
insulin. Yeah. Is that it?
I don't know, I just said it.
I'm gonna go with pancreas. Appendix. I'm gonna say
pancreas. That sounds
appendix.
Is it?
Oh. I don't know.
That's like what you add to your cover letter to get into college. You're like, oh, by the way.
You just blew my mind because now I'm sitting here going like, why are this the same fucking word? Like they were like, we'll put this in the appendix and change it later. And then they just like left it. They're like, oh.
Oh, by the way, it's pancreas.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. I'm glad. What was my point was that because it helps create the digestive juices, it's the same as our pancreas, right? So like I don't remember the point I was going with that, but it had something to do with a pancreas. I'm glad we got
I'm glad
collectively with the three of us, we have like one person's knowledge of our organs.
Google. Did you hear it just now? I'm sorry. It pooped everywhere.
How do you have a Tamagotchi?
How?
Yes.
I paid for it.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining how capitalism works.
Yeah, there's new ones. I just, you know, with all the stuff, I just wanted one more thing that I need to feed. So wait. Okay. So I think it sounds like you personally lean more towards New World. Is that for noobs or for yourself as well?
I lean more towards the species, less the old world, new world kind of. Okay. Like I've really, like, I would say my top favorite spider, I think my number one favorite spider, if I had to guess, was Ephobopus marinus, which is a skeleton like tarantula, which is a fossorial new world, little bit spicier, but not more. Their venom's probably not any different. Mm-hmm. But second favorite spider is the Harpactera pulchripes, which is a old world fossorial, and then the list goes on. I mean, like, I've got a shit ton of favorites, but no, I don't really. I'm an equal opportunity person when it comes to tarantulas. For me, it's more about like, how cool is it, the personality, OBTs are my favorite tarantula of like all time, like, mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna recommend an OBT to somebody that's never had a tarantula, you know what I mean? Like, they're
Lauren, that's an orange bitey thing.
Oh yeah. So okay, I could go on for fucking hours about OBTs and people calling them that, and I won't do that to you. But most people, I have 195 OBTs alone.
What?
I have five mature females. I have two mature males, and then I have a shit ton of slings. Of all of those, I've got two females that will threat pose me. Those two females that threat pose me were surrenders, because I take surrenders from people that are, they need to, you know, they bought a tarantula or they bought 100 tarantula in a certain in their life, and then they forgot that they're 20-year living creatures. They'll put them in boxes and stuff, and they'll be like, I don't want this anymore. So I have these two OBT females that will threat pose me every time. But it's because they're in a fucking plastic shoebox. And so, like, imagine you're a tarantula that lives in an area or evolved in an area where birds try to eat you all the time. A top opening cage. And so every time I'm opening that enclosure, I am a predator approaching them, right? So I think they're extremely, extremely, extremely skittish and scared. They won't run from you 95% of the time. But if you have them in a shitty enclosure, they're going to fuck up. Like, they're going to be mad. And they're going to be like, dude, why are you... I'm afraid of you. And then they'll get dramatic. And so I've seen people intentionally fuck with them to get like Instagram reels and stuff. So it's just like I don't think they're really that bad. I do not have the problems that other people have. And now, did I almost get bit in the face by one? Yes. It was 100% my fault. Okay. Imagine this. Either of you have kids? One of you has kids, right?
Lauren.
Okay, Lauren, you had a kid. Imagine this.
Had
You had the kid. You have the child still, but you had it.
Okay.
Okay. Imagine, if you will, you are very pregnant. Let's say 9 months pregnant. Oh. And somebody comes in and takes all of the furniture out of your house. And you try to flee into your bathroom. And then they start hitting you with a giant brush.
Oh,
I'm excited. You're probably going to bite him in the fucking face too, right? Because like, you're like, dude, I'm so pregnant. Leave me alone. That's what I did. I was trying to move her to another enclosure, and she decided to, and it was really adorable. I had moved all the stuff out, and there was this like hole in the back corner, and she decided to like shove her fat ass into the corner, but she was so fat that her butt stuck out. Like she was so gravid, she could not fit her whole body. So it was just like this little fat blueberry hanging out of the top. She was very, very gentle. So like then I'm taking a paintbrush trying to get her out, because I'm like, sweetie, you've got to move to the new enclosure. And she like, this was so, because they're so fast, they literally teleport. She ran up the paintbrush, I dropped the paintbrush, and she immediately at the end of the paintbrush, keep in mind this is falling at the same, all this is happening, she ran up the paintbrush and then like did the threat pose, like trying to hit me with her face, but I dropped the paintbrush. So I dropped it towards my face like an idiot. So her face was coming, and then I backed up at the same time. So she missed me by about 2 inches. And then people are like, oh my God. And I'm like, dude, it was literally my fault. I poked a pregnant female too much. And she was like, I'm done with this shit. I'm gonna fucking bite him. And I was like, I get it. I'm so sorry.
Did you pee a little?
I'm not gonna lie. That was the only time I've ever had it to where I was genuinely scared for my life. Oh, fuck. Because
your
brain takes about, I think it's like two milliseconds for your brain to process neurons. And by the time my brain processed the neurons, she was halfway up the brush.
Oh, God. So,
yeah.
Oh, Juice, I've been meaning to ask you, what's your big surprise?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So the reason I had to do this at 5 o'clock today, I'm trying to say this in a way that can, like, get the suspense up at the same time. Kind of be dope.
You're gravid.
What I don't want to do, yeah, it's me. I'm gravid as hell, guys. I'm ready to pop spiders any day now. We just actually we leased a warehouse. So why that's a big deal is because I'm about to create a state-of-the-art breeding facility.
Wow.
And so we now have expansion for our dry goods. We have expansion now for our living goods, which will mean that my people that buy from me directly, they can buy care guides that, and we're also talking like very high level. Like if you buy a spider from me, you can see basically every time it ate for the last 6 months, you'll be able to see the humidity, the temperatures, all of that for care guides. Like it's going to be a pretty big deal.
Wow.
This will obviously take time, right? Like it's not something that happens, but it's beneficial to, you know, businesses that buy wholesale stuff. It'll be businesses, you know, beneficial for retail people as well. But yeah, because I'm a pretty big conservation person and giving back to the community. And if you're not a part of it, join California Bug Club. They are exactly as it sounds.
So do you have to live in California to be in the Bug Club?
You know, you technically don't. I mean, there's nothing saying. So what we plan on eventually doing in it, I took it over from Edgar Ortega from the California Herpetological Society. And so what it's eventually going to be is just a place for people that, like, if you're in California and events happening, come and join us. Like, it's going to be a place for bug people to get together, because my goal is to make it equal opportunity for all bug people. Because I noticed, I'm sure you guys have seen it too, there's a lot of like gatekeeping in like, I'm a tarantula person, therefore I'm the best. And then it's just like, but then you've got like a person over here with like phasmids or roaches or something. And we kind of like treat them like second class citizen. I'm trying to like remove a lot of that, because at the end of the day, it's like, dude, we're all nerds. Like, let's just.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
It's like people that do like fantasy football. It's like, dude, that's just D&D for jocks. Stop.
It is. Or it's like spiders to cure arachnophobia, or like cute spiders, but has the subtext "no jumping spider edition."
What?
Yeah, you haven't seen that?
No, that's so weird.
I think that the bugs should be all inclusive, because back in the day you only had reptile expos, and they were really small. You have this paradigm shift where it's like everything became more inclusive just out of happenstance, and then before that, I think it should continue that route. And so I know a lot of people that, you know, they'll be like anti-jumper, and then you realize it's like, yeah, but the undertone is they're anti-women, or they're anti, you know, LGBTQIA. So.
Or an anti-cute. God.
Yeah. Oh, my dude, who gives a shit? It's a spider. It's like the most metal creature on earth. Like, dude, it's not, sure, it's cute, but it's still digestive juice breaks down prey. Like, it's pretty dope. I don't know about you.
Jumping spiders don't even seem like spiders to me. They're like, just not. I don't know what they are.
Spiders were spiders, but they had a better marketing team, and I thought that was pretty brilliant, because that's true.
Okay, I have heard that, or I'm having deja vu, one or the other, but jumping spiders speak for themselves. They are so freaking cute. Like, no one can doubt that. Those little eyes, like, even the most grossed out person of spiders, like my mom, can look at a close-up picture of one of my jumpers and be like, okay, that's actually cute.
They're amazing for curing arachnophobia.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I always said it's because of the mustache. I don't know if you guys the little pedipalps they have, how it covers their fangs. Because that's the thing.
Oh.
Jumping spiders are cute until you see them too close and they move their pedipalps and you see the giant fangs they have hiding underneath them. I think the little pedipalp mustache they have makes them look like a Walter Brimley character, and it's the thing on the planet to me.
Baby walruses. Yeah, I don't know.
The octopunctaneous, if I'm saying that correctly, they have like the full hair on their teeth, which is like makes them, I think, in my opinion, like little mini teddy bear spiders.
It is interesting though that they get a pass for how cute they are. Velvet spiders get a pass for how cute they are. But I look at tarantulas and I also see them that cute. And I don't know what it says about me, but I'll be over there like giving them little baby noises. I'm like, oh, you're so cute. And, like, I'm over there like talking to them like kids. And like, I know when they look terrifying. Like, nobody likes to get threat posed. You know what I mean? And I'm wondering if that's why. Or is it because, oh, I actually have a theory. I think it's the neck.
Ooh, the neck. For me, it's their arms.
I guess they don't have a neck, but you know what I'm saying. They kind of look the illusion of the neck. Then the arms make sense too.
They're like, I think if you can look like right in their little eyes, it makes it better. But if their eyes were just like bigger, I think that people wouldn't be as afraid for tarantulas.
Yeah, they do have beady little eyes. That is true. which is interesting, because that means that, okay, so this is what you said, is that we are more comfortable with front-facing predator eyes than we are with top eyes. You know how, like, jumping spiders, like, their eyes are, like, very front-facing? So that means that we've basically evolved to trust predators. You know what I mean?
I didn't think of it like that. That's true.
That's true.
I think because they have, like, black on the top of their head, that kind of, like, sometimes masks the smaller eyes, and then the ones on the back like can kind of pretend like they don't have those at all sometimes.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, because this client that I met up with today, she was like, I like that my spider, she has a very dark phase regal, and she's like, I love how it's dark because I can't see the eyes, that it has like that many eyes as much. And I was like, what? I was like, that's the part that I like, but yeah, she liked that because they're darker, that the so many eyes, it's, I don't think it's about how the size of them, but how many there are.
Huh. Wait until she notices how many legs they have. Just kidding. Oh, shit.
It's kind of unfair that we think that jumping spiders are cute, but tarantulas aren't, when really the reason the eyes are so big on a jumper is their vision hunting versus a tarantula's blind as shit. You know what I mean? So it's like, they don't really need big eyes. Like, that's unfair as hell.
I think it is the eyes, though. It really is. It's like,
they're just...
Just put little, what are those called? The little...
googly eyes.
Just put Google, because it's not like they're using their eyes are basically useless.
Can you do a picture for us with, like, I will, like, die laughing. A tarantula with googly eyes.
It would either make it better or worse. You know what I mean? Like, if they had giant eyes.
I know it already. Get a real one, too, like, with googly, if you can actually just put gently set googly eyes on a chart.
Oh, I'm not about to do that. They will maul the shit out of me the second I try. Well, their hairs are really good. They sense vibration, which also means like air pressure and changes like that. I don't think I could sneak up on a tarantula to save my life.
Really? Literally. So yeah, that's how good their hairs are.
Yeah, their hairs can pick up everything. The other reason that like people love to hold stuff and then they're like shocked when tarantulas don't want to be held, and I'm like, dude, imagine if your entire body was covered in ears. How much would you want to hear, like, your heart is just pumping blood through your body at all times, right? And so it's like they can feel the blood coursing through your veins as it's happening, and it sounds like in a mountain just erupting volcano. You know what I mean? Like, you're talking. So like they're very, very sensitive. That's why like they don't like to. If I sit down, they'll all come out because they're like, oh, he's feeding me. But if I'm like, if I sit still and I'm quiet for long enough, they'll all just like come back out of their burrows. And then I sneeze one day and I watch like a fucking thousand spiders just vanish. And that was when I became aware of like, oh shit, there's a lot of you guys looking at me right now. Like, holy crap.
That would be like quite a sight, like sneezing and seeing a bunch of spiders just taken off.
Yeah, you watch your whole wall move and you're like, oh, what the hell? No, but they're very, very sensitive to that sound. They're covered in hairs. They're basically hearing, you know, they don't, let me rephrase. They can't hear shit. They don't have this, but they can, they act as sensory organs that allow them to hear, feel, sense vibrations, aerial pressure, barometric pressure, all of that.
That's so wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. But you also have to remember too, like, they haven't evolved in 140 million years. Like, they're a very, very simple species. Araneae, so like the true spiders, they're a much more recent evolution, I should say, than Theraphosidae. So like, that's why people tend to say like, oh, these spiders are smarter. And it's like, well, it's not really necessarily true. They just evolved for a different purpose. They didn't need to, they built a different niche where like Theraphosidae was like, my niche is I have a hole, and then when things wander by me, I'm going to eat it. And that was or it was like, or I've evolved to be in a tree, and when something's nearby me, I jump on it and eat it. There was really never a need to fill the niche that like jumping spiders is, which is like, I'm going to go run and hunt all day. Because think of it from like an animal perspective, where they don't have monocultural farms and grocery stores, right? Like, you're using a shit ton of metabolism to go run something down and eat. With tarantulas, they're using as little metabolism as they possibly can at all times. They're kind of like a screensaver. Like, they're motion activated.
Screensaver. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they, once movement happens or vibration happens, then their brain, because it's just a brain stem with all spiders, they don't really have a brain, it like activates and they're like, yes, sensory organs have picked something up, now let's go. And that's just kind of how they, whereas like your jumping spiders in the wild, they could be, you know, they're not walking far. They might walk maybe 200, 300, 400 feet from where they were, but that's a really long distance from like where, for a little tiny jumper that's like the size of a quarter, you know, it'd be like you and I running like 10 miles trying to find food. And then we're also jumping on things that are flying, which is.
Do you think that jumping spiders have the capacity to love?
No.
Okay, let me answer this a different way. I think that their capacity to love is an unimportant part of the equation.
True.
They don't have a limbic system, but you have a bearded dragon. Your bearded dragon doesn't have a limbic system either, but you are its favorite rock. It knows you want food. It will snuggle up to you when they do that cute little waggle they do when they pancake on you.
She You're doesn't its favorite rock. She pancakes, but she doesn't ever come up to me and want to cuddle.
And that's the thing. Like I think as human beings having a limbic system, love is one of those things that we implicitly want everything to have. But like love is different for them because by very definition, they don't create the chemicals and bonding and all those things that we have, right? So like I don't think them being able to love us is necessary. I think us loving them and protecting them from the wild. Because think about it, like if you're jumping spider in the wild, it has to worry about birds every day. It has to worry about centipedes. It has to worry about other things eating it. Like you've given it protection. You've given it your entire heart. And for its entire life, you will love this thing implicitly. And it's safe with you. And I think that's really all that matters, right?
Like, yeah.
I love that.
It can't love you. It doesn't have to. You love it. Like that's...
Yeah, that was awesome. I feel like we ask a few people that sometimes, and it's fun to hear everyone's different take.
I think too, like we get too fixated on love from creatures and we forget that like love can only actually be reciprocated by like mammals and birds.
Birds!
That's really hard.
But then I feel like in my weird take, like love can be like something totally different to them, but they maybe still can have like maybe love for a bearded dragon is like recognizing their owner. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
No, it 100% does, because that's the thing is we use the human definition of love, but then we try to force it on other things. And it's like,
yeah,
does it matter? Like if their version of feeling of love is their version of it, then like who gives a shit?
Exactly.
This is like they're like, hey, I like to climb on this person. Well, why do you like to climb on him? Well, food happens when I climb on him. And it's just like, well, that's food. Like, yeah, and I love food. So therefore, Yeah, so it's just like, I think we get too focused on like, can this thing love me the way I love it? No,
yes.
that's just
factual
there. But then like, from that point, it's like, it doesn't matter because you're giving it your entire heart and soul for the rest of its life, which is a very short amount of time. But to it, it's its entire lifespan, its entire world. So yeah, I think that they love in their own way, but they don't love in a human way. And I think that's all that really matters.
Yeah,
that
is so hurtful. I love that.
Yeah, Lauren had a guy who really just wanted her to know that you were stupid, basically, because they can't love you back. And he actually even said that, like, he doesn't love anything that can't love him back at all. And it was like, wow, that sounds like personality disorder, dude.
If you look at life in such a cold black and white way, like, don't get me wrong, like I look at things from a scientific perspective all the time, but like I think that like people, we're talking about like that guy for instance, just like they look at things in like a very like cold and unfeeling way, and it's like they feel, you know, I've met a lot of these people, especially with like degrees, where they're like, I learned at UC Davis this thing, and it's like, well, that's dope. Who gives a shit? Like, okay, you field collected spiders, that's fucking dope, but like how many of you cared for and actually raised? You know what I mean? Like it's that cold calculation of like, you can be scientific and you can still feel a certain way. Like, am I wrong by saying that I feel this thing, or like Lauren says, I feel this thing loves me in its own way? Well, guess what? We can't prove it and we can't disprove it. So therefore it doesn't matter. You know, like, if you want to believe that, like we have core beliefs as human beings, we're allowed to feel that way. Like if you're not finding yourself attached to things just because it can't love you back, you will find yourself in a very dark world where it's like, cool, I got humans and dogs and cats sometimes. That's cool.
What about plants? I feel like I love all my plants. Like when you underwater a plant and it's just like, oh, I'm sad. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like,
oh, I wish I could tell. Anyway, sorry.
I think that human beings need to empathize more with the smaller things, because otherwise we end up in the situation we're in now, right? Like we're just like, I know a lot of people that really appreciate the world now that it's nearly on fire. It's like, you know, if we had that, you know, 50 years ago, we might not be in the situation we're in now. Not to make that get so dark.
No, we've been nuclear warring, so it's...
It's like if people just cared for the little things like the bees and not using pesticides and,
you know. It's,
well, we're afraid of bees too, unfortunately. So
yeah. Everybody loves honeybees, but what they don't realize is the only reason anybody gave a shit about honeybees is somebody decided to put a campaign together because monocultural farms make $1 billion a year. And so the bees campaign, but no one ever talked about the solitary bees or the, you know, actual American bees. They all talked about the European honeybee, which is like, you know, it's always funny to me. Like, nobody cares about a problem until the problem's inherently there. And then they'll use these marketing campaigns of like, save the bees. And it's like, yeah, we can save them, but can we save all of the bees, please? Not just this one fucking species that makes you money.
Because there's so many types of bees. Like, we have the non-honey producing bee. I forget what it's called. They're not cute like the big old honey bumblebee kind of things. People disregard them when really, like, you just gotta set up little homes for them and they'll be chill.
Yeah.
And they'll pollinate all your plants.
There's this paper recently where somebody was writing, and I can't remember who posted it online, but this guy, like, you could see he was like so desperately in his paper trying to convince people to save the species. He was like trying, and they do this a lot. Scientists have to, like, when they're making these papers for like grant money to like try to save something for conservation, they have to word it in this really bizarre way where they're like, this is how it's helpful to you. And they'll start like listing off all these ways. Like, I saw something about fig wasps. Like, if you like fig Newtons, you need to care about fig wasps. And it's like, well, everything you're saying is technically wrong, but you did it to get people to care about this wasp. And I appreciate that. You know, does that make sense? Whereas people, they almost have to like fucking give a shit before they're like, it's not like I want to save this species. It's like, I want to save the species only if it benefits me. And then everybody writing something to say, save the species, is trying to like find a way for you to empathize with it so that you can actually give a shit about the saving of this thing. Like ash borers. Like, we were like, I remember this is like 2008. The president at the time was like, we need to like help with this ash borer problem. And then like everyone's like, you want to spend $2 billion on bugs? And it was like, yeah, dipshit. Do you like wood and like crops and stuff? Like, we need to like take care of them. So like, we almost have to, as humans, like find a way to be like, how does this impact your coffee? Or how does this impact your Lululemons? Or how does this impact your Ford truck? Like, we have to find something that like correlates to it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's already been proven. If we like tell people like, this is going to affect the earth, like killing all the honeybees and continuing to do all that, and, you know, all the emissions and shit, people don't care. So we have to like put it on a small scale.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry. Lauren, are you the one that's a social worker or caseworker?
It's me.
I'm so sorry. So you are used to working with people. So like, you know, people, I just feel like sometimes the concepts are too big for us, like that. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah. But yeah. Like macro stuff.
Yeah. Like to Lauren's point, like we cannot get somebody to care on such a large scale, like, because it's too difficult for me. It, you know, like, what is a person in the middle of the Midwest who is only making $12 an hour? Why do they give a shit about like the world if their world is so crazy already?
It's like during COVID, like when a couple people died, we were like, oh no. But then when it got really bad at the beginning, like, people stopped caring because we couldn't.
Yeah, you're right.
True.
I knew lots of people during COVID. I nearly died from COVID the first round. A lot of people it's fine. I'm alive now. I knew a lot of people that they were very anti-COVID and didn't think it was real and all these things. And then they got COVID and were like, oh my God, it's real. And in that kind of concept, it's always cracked me up because it's just like, you can't care about a thing unless it directly affects you. Like, you know, like, I know. I've heard this phrase a lot. Like, I can appreciate this because I have daughters.
I don't like sexual assault because I have a daughter. And it's like, oh, that's weird. Yeah. Don't say that out loud, you dork.
Yeah. And I was always like, okay, so I appreciate that you've at least got, kind of, I don't know. I'm always torn because I'm like, in one part, I'm glad you got there. But in the other part, it's like, but why did it have to be that? Like, why do you have to know a woman to care about women kind of thing? It's just like, what if you didn't know any women? Would you just be like, fuck them, I don't care? Like, who gives a shit? Like, it's the same concept, I think, for a lot of people, where it's just like, you have to inherently be affected or you will never be affected or have an opinion about the object.
And this is going to sound super weird, but like, I feel like if you can empathize for something like a small creature, like a spider or tarantula or whatever, you have a better understanding and more empathy for like other people in the world.
Yeah, emotional intelligence.
That's why I said early in the episode, like I feel like if you guys love jumping spiders, the next thing that's inevitable is you will start to branch out to different things, because if you have the mindset and the mental intelligence to say, I was wrong about this subject, then you could be wrong about others. I'm wrong here. What else am I wrong about? You expanded so much more that now you're creepy bug. Huh. But you know what I mean.
I'm wondering, is there a cute way to keep roaches?
You can put them in little like Hello Kitty bento boxes.
Can I make them a cute house? How does that
work? Yeah. So I'm going to go back to when I said that roaches are the same as termites. So roaches in their heads or bodies, I don't know, somewhere. Now this is where my gap is. I don't know if it's a protozoan thing that they have in it, or if it's a bacterial, or I'm sorry, a symbiotic eukaryotes or whatever. They have something inside of them that basically allows them to digest wood, and then it creates calcium. Now, it's just a thing that they have because they are a termites in them. At some point along their lineage, have the ability to do this. So what you can do, and this is how I do all my dubia roaches. Now, keep in mind, I sell my dubia roaches for bug people. I don't give a shit. If you got like reptiles and you're like, they need a specific diet, it's like, I don't give a fuck, bro. Put them in your own container, like put them in quarantine for like 48 hours and they'll shit all of this out. That's on you. Like, you as the consumer, it's up to you to do your own. Does that make sense? Like, I'm not buying dog food for my dog having no idea what's in it. Like, if you're buying something from me, I'm assuming you're buying it for bugs. It's juices, arthropods. If it turns out that it's for a reptile, like, it's kind of on you to like, let me quarantine these for 48 hours before I feed them off. So anyways, you put them in a bin. So like, I have mine in a bin, and then I use cork bark, and then I put like a nice bioactive enclosure, so I have like a nice level of like soil, and then I've got like some isopods in there kind of cleaning up the poop, and then I've got some springtails, and I got some live moss in there. Like, yeah, you can go crazy, because remember, they can't climb glass or plastic. So like, you can even have like a giant open bin that you can see all the time. You can go crazy with it. Put some like, I don't know, like see like a Barbie Playland thing. Like, they're not going to use it, yeah. But like, go crazy. Like, who gives a shit? Like, you
can. And they can't get my Muppet. Oh my God, I think I have the perfect setup. My husband's going to kill me, but he'll get used to it. I think I'm going to make like a roach vivarium or something. I don't know. Not vivarium, terrarium. No water. Would that work?
Yes, absolutely. Just make sure that the plant or something. No, is okay. So this is I don't know what you're putting it in, but you need to make sure that whatever you put in it is not etched plastic. And if it's glass, it doesn't matter. It just cannot be a surface that they can climb. So just like, put a couple roaches in it and then see if they can climb the container before you go crazy and go put everything in there. You can add whatever you want into it. Like live plants, like create it, because Blaptica dubia is like in Central South America. So like, they are used to like a high humidity jungle type of scenario. Ooh. So like, you can get crazy with it. Just remember, if you're trying to feed it though, it's going to be pretty hard to chase them down if they're buried under the soil or under the plant.
So that was my next question. Do they bury under the soil?
The babies will. They don't typically. There will be more opt to be inside like your cork bark or whatever. They really like to like stick to surfaces like cork bark. People use like egg flats. I prefer to use cork bark because, like, let's say for instance, I want to scoop, like, I want to take a plastic 32 ounce deli cup and I want to get like 100 roaches at one time. I have a big ass paintbrush. I can take the cork bark, I can put the cup at the bottom, and I can just literally like swipe a paintbrush down and all of the roaches will fall in the cup.
Ooh, versus, I got the chills when you said that.
So versus like, if I have it on like an egg flats, I gotta like take the egg flat and then I gotta like tap it, you know what I mean? Like, I hate that. That drives me nuts.
Okay, I'm gonna make a cute, I'm excited, you've inspired me, and I'll post it on Spoodcast when it's done.
You should, because it's, they are, so one thing you got to remember, like, you're in Reno, so like they cannot escape into your house and create, they will not ever be invasive in your house in any capacity. They actually, why is that? Because they're Central South America, they really, they need, like, unless you have a river literally like flowing through your house, they need constant humidity and constant liquids and foods and stuff.
So that's why they've been kind of dying off and getting dried out.
Yeah, they need high humidity. And then the
I'm learning so much. Thank you. This is like really good.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. And then the other thing is, this is going to really change your mind about them. They're what's considered a eusocial creature, so they can actually communicate with each other. And sometimes when you open their bin, you're hearing a bunch of sounds. That's the sounds of their feet. But sometimes it's them making noises to each other, telling them that they're scared.
I've never noticed the noises, but now I'm going to listen. Like, that honestly makes them a little like more...
Yeah.
My eyes got a little teared.
Well, I told you, learning about fruit flies and that they have preferences in their mates. So I was like, oh, I'm still going to kill you, but...
Yeah.
Little brains.
Yeah, fruit flies are so funny because they've got like these crazy, they have brains, and then they also, what was it, the statistics, like they're like the
dumbest creatures.
Well, they're dumb, but they're also super hardy, but they also pound for pound are like the most well-endowed creature besides banana slugs, like on the planet.
Like their wieners?
Yes, their wiener, as you called it, is huge compared to, it's almost, I think it's the entire length of them.
Why when you squish them is it bloody?
From their wiener?
It's a lot of blood. A lot of blood. So it's hemolymph. They're all arthropod, well, all in invertebrates, their blood is called hemolymph. It's not the same as ours. But yeah, that's why it's bloody. They have blood.
That's crazy.
Yeah, they're like little red water balloons.
But it's real blood?
Yes, but no. So hemolymph's purpose is more of like a, what is that? Like, it's like a hydraulic fluid for their joints. Whereas like us, we have, you know, we have veins and capillaries and an aortic system. Theirs is like the oxygen. That's why with bees, if you hit them with like smoke, they will just pass out. It's because what you've done is oxygen is supposed to be inside their spiracles, and instead you've replaced it with CO2. And so until that gas actually anaerobically leaves their system, they can't breathe. So their organs just shut down because they're just like, well, shit. So after you wait a couple seconds, oxygen fills back up, and then the hemolymph goes, okay, it's time to transfer all the stuff. That's why it's like almost impossible to drown an insect. Most of the time, if you just like pull them out of the water and you just set them down, they'll dry out after like a couple hours and they'll be fine again.
Huh. Except jumping spiders.
Yeah. They
will die, right?
Yeah. Bookworms are a little bit different because they're more active. But they still, it's pretty hard to drown a jumping spider. Like, you can, but it's actually easier to kill a human drowning than it is to kill a jumping spider drowning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know, because like I had these little dishes and some people actually put water in them instead of the food. And I'm like, no, don't put the water in them. You're going to drown your spider.
Well, and they can, don't get me wrong. It's just like you remember how like there was all those cute pictures of like a jumping spider with like a water drop on top of their head, and it was like, stop doing that.
You never liked that.
Yeah, it's because the spider doesn't have the strength to break the water tension. So like when they drown, what's happening is like they are not strong enough to break the water tension with the amount of water that's in it, and that's what ultimately drowns them. And it's also been like hours, right? But if a jumping spider jumps into water now, it's not going to drown in the next 10 minutes. It's like you can air them out, just blow on them for a little bit and they'll be fine.
That's good to know.
But that's why it's just like, I just always put rocks and stuff in mine. So it's just like, they're not, they can climb out or like,
yeah,
they're pretty hardy.
I almost wonder if like your spider mismolts or it's having trouble getting a molt off, then it would be okay to kind of just like spray their little like body with water to get it off.
You can. So you can, because I've had to take care of a couple of both tarantulas and jumping spiders and mantids and So I've done a lot of, I'm like, you know what? Rather than just name everything, I've done this to a lot of different invertebrates. You can mist them, or you can take a Q-tip and you can kind of get it wet, and then you can kind of apply it to the area if you catch it. The issue is most mist molts are because of internal hydration, not external hydration, because I'm trying to think of how to put this. Imagine if rather your skin cells sloughing off, you drank no water, you know, like water's good for our skin. Imagine you drank no water for a really, really, really long time, and then you molt out of your currently good skin. Underneath it is just your shitty last 6 months of doing Molly in the desert. That's obviously not going to be good.
Coachella skin.
Yeah. Exactly. You got your fire festival skin or whatever. So like that internal hydration is really important. Whereas like the external hydration matters, obviously, because it helps them breathe, but it's not as important as that internal hydration.
That's good to know.
That's why Phytopus regius is such a hardy species, because they're actually a Floridian species that spends most of its time in like the underbrush that's like solid heat. So they can both live inside a high humidity and also desertous type region. Like, but it's like sand endemic.
Mm-hmm. They're so adaptive too. Yeah. Juice, do you have a cool spider fact or like any bug fact? You've given us so many tonight. But we always ask everyone for a little spider fact.
Okay, I do have one. This is going to be more for, actually, it's technically for true spiders and jumping spiders. You know how they fill their pedipalps with sperm to impregnate the females?
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm.
They don't technically have to do that. They technically could just do all natural like humans do face to face. The reason they don't do that is because her mouth is right there and it would be right in biting height. The reason they do that is because the ones that figured out that they can just hold on to it and shove it like a pocket didn't die.
Did you see my video of my shorty where he's like sucking on his pelvis?
Grinding on you?
Yeah. Do you think that's what that was?
I don't know. I think that's interesting because he didn't I mean, he kind of kept doing that, but then he wasn't dancing. That would be, he danced. I mean, that would be dope. Okay.
He danced afterwards, so I was like, what are you doing with your palps, man? Because it seemed like he was priming them for something.
Maybe he was trying to hint you. He's like, I'm ready, dude. You got a pair of like, I'm dying here. Like, help. There's no pockets here.
It's really, I think, my phone lens, but I'm going to just pretend that it's me. But
that would be super cute if he was trying to pair with your phone lens.
I think he is. He sees himself.
That's so cute.
What a parent. No. He's got shit on his ass. I can't get it.
That won't stop him from pairing.
I don't know, man. It's hard to meet chicks. So, Juice, how can people find you online?
You can check out my website and juicesarthropods.com. I have an Instagram at juicesarthropods, and then I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/@juicesarthropods if you like to see pros and cons and maybe disagree with my views on mantids and some of the other species. But I try to do a lot about education, and obviously I have a business, but I'm equally passionate about just teaching things to people and trying to help them love more creatures.
Yay, I love that aspect about you, and you're so inspiring, and I'm excited to get into roaches, which is never something I thought I would say, but I'm gonna keep you all updated on the process.
She's not going to tarantulas right away. Roaches. Are the next step. Hissing cockroach time.
Oh my god, people love them as pets.
I could go on for days about hissing cockroaches, but next time I see you, Lauren, I have some males that are the best pets. So this is my pitch, right? 3 years lived. They're perfect for children. If the bug doesn't like what your kid's doing, it will yell at them. It can climb plastic and glass, but it eats the exact same things you do. They're very hardy, like 100% great for handleability, will not take any extra costs for you, and they are the best pets on the planet. And they can't fly and they can't do anything negative. So next time I see you, I will bring one of my male.
I will buy one from you.
Here's the best part. They're like $3. They're the cheapest pet on the planet. They cost the
closure too for it.
We got you covered.
I have spider enclosures. I don't have what you have. So bring me one. It's okay. And I'm excited. And I'm excited to maybe get other people into cockroaches too.
You'll be the biggest cockroach fan within 1 week, I promise. They're amazing pets.
Charlie, you hear that?
You might talk to her. Don't tell Dado yet.
He's like, oh, I'm telling him.
He's immediately going to tell on you.
Don't trust Charlie. Thank you so much. This was so much fun having you on. And I will see you this next week on Friday.
Yes.
I mean, Saturday. Sunday.
I will see you Saturday. Thank you guys so much for having me. This has been an absolute blast, and I wish you all the best and hope you make a ton of money at your next expo as well.
Good night, Charlie. Thank you, Juice. We'll see you guys next week. Oh man, that's exciting.
That's a goodbye. Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye.